Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Palomar offers an alternate route for its liquefied natural gas pipeline. Mothan and Madras have heard the story before.
A judge in California overturns a Bush-era logging free-for-all, but Oregon still doesn't get it.
And a mortgage giant Freddie Mac got another $6.1 billion plus today, while every passing minute another family loses its home to foreclosure. It's a wonderful life.
Portland area weather today, sunny, high around 90. Tonight, clear, low around 54. And tomorrow, even warmer, with highs in the 90s.
And first, we go to regional news from around Cascadia. This past Tuesday and also Monday in Maupin, there was a meeting in Madras staged by utility companies. What they want to do is ram a 220-mile natural gas pipeline through central Oregon. The Palomar pipe would pump gas from a key connector in eastern Oregon near Shaneco to the Portland metro area. And it could be expanded if a liquefied natural gas terminal were built on the coast. Palomar actually isn't going to wait, they say, for the terminal to be built. They are going to put their pipeline through no matter what. Joining us this morning is Amy Harwood with Barkout. Good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Chris.
So you were at the first meeting on Monday, and that was in Maupin. And then there was, of course, a redo on Tuesday.
Yeah, there's two different alternatives. They're proposing one that would go through the town of Maupin and another that would go near Madras. And so they held open houses for both of those alternatives. And we, a few of us went out to the open house in Maupin. And as you said, Palomar is proposing several alternative routes for the 220-mile pipeline that would connect to the liquefied natural gas terminals on the Columbia River. This entire pipeline is connected to LNG, despite what they say. And they had an open public comment period until July 13th, and so they were hosting two open houses in order to comply with the comment period. And we weren't sure what we were going to find in Maupin, but I guess I shouldn't have been that surprised to find a full house. There are people in Maupin are connected to the Deschutes River, and the thought of it crossing, I think, well, it brought out fly fishermen, rafting guides, ranchers, and a bunch of people who have just recently learned that their house is actually in the way of the pipeline. And they were all there to tell the Palomar that they don't want this pipeline going through their town. And it was a really inspiring evening.
And much of the area around the Deschutes is designated wild and scenic, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so one of the alternatives would be in an effort to avoid the wild and scenic area. So basically you've got a pipeline either going through a gorgeous wild and scenic area or the town of Maupin, neither of which to me sounds like a good idea. And I was actually elated to come home from the meeting and find that LNG was also up for discussion on Monday night as well at Mayor Adams' open house for the draft climate action plan in Portland. And we had several anti-LNG activists show up and be sure that, you know, Portland doesn't have a plan to reduce our carbon footprint that has anything to do with LNG development also coming through this area. So I'd encourage your listeners to go to BARC's website, bark-out.org, and you can see the maps for the proposed routes as well as the alternatives that they've got going on right now, and find out about upcoming events that we have. We're going to be hosting a camp out along the pipeline route in mid-July in the Mount Hood National Forest, and conveniently, Palomar picked one of my favorite swimming spots in the forest, so we'll be there.
Thank you so much for that, Amy.
Sure thing.
My guest this morning has been Amy Harwood with Barkout.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's all going to come down to the legal system, because our elected representatives, obviously from the recent climate bill, can't be trusted to do the will of the people and protect the environment. A case in point, a federal judge has struck down the Bush administration's attempt to loosen a rule that was the foundation of logging cutbacks to protect the northern spotted owl. Yesterday in Oakland, California, U.S. District Judge Claudia Wilkin ruled that the U.S. Forest Service failed to take a hard look at the environmental impact of changing the rule to make it easier to cut down forest habitat for so-called indicator species.
Indicator species.
Yeah.
Indicating in the sense of the old canary in the coal mine, right? And it would be at a coal mine.
Right.
If you shop Then you are raw material in the estimate of the nation's power brokers. Your confidence as a consumer can make or break corporate annual reports and projected earnings. Right now, Americans, whose hope for the economy had been rising since March, theoretically, unexpectedly lost faith this month. That's why economists who, in their natural state, couldn't give a rip about you and your bag of E. coli-infested groceries are now watching you so closely.
Being unemployed is a full-time job with no reward at the end of the day. Portland metro area unemployment has jumped more in a year than in any other U.S. urban hub. We're even ahead of Greater Detroit, a city where the median home price is $6,000 because foreclosures outnumber sales. But why? Economists say the reason is Michigan and Oregon both rely heavily on manufacturing durable goods. In Oregon, this means recreational vehicles, machinery, lumber, and computer chips. But what about our flaunted green image? Where's the innovation, the new ideas? That's right, the anti-tax activists have tanked our education system.
There it went. While record numbers of families are facing foreclosure, Freddie Mac got another $6 billion plus from the Treasury Department to help offset its mounting liabilities. The Federal Housing Finance Agency, which has been operating Freddie Mac since last fall, requested the funds for the huge mortgage company after the firm's liabilities exceeded its assets by more than $6 billion. Freddie Mac's out again.
The 2009 legislature ended on an ambiguous note environmentally. A group which represents 45 environmental groups tallies progress on invasive species, marine reserves, and water management. The Oregon Conservation Network released a detailed rundown of how environmental bills fared. But before you trust their findings, go to the websites of hands-on activists who know what the law looks like on the ground. The Oregon Conservation Network produced a careful work, but don't believe that Oregon is anywhere close to the front of the pack on the critical issues.
Yeah, what it looks like on paper is very different from what it looks like in reality. Greenpeace reports that 9 of the nation's 20 biggest food retailers have made no visible effort to increase the sustainability of their seafood operations, ignoring a crisis in global fisheries. Here in Cascadia, we're doing a bit better. Whole Foods Market, Target, and Safeway were highest rated by the advocacy group, ranking numbers 3 through 5, respectively.
Hillsborough is on a recycling roll with the opening of new Washington County Center. Waste Management of Oregon's new site caters to everyone from homeowners lugging plastic to builders trying to recycle drywall, concrete, and carpet to comply with a new law that kicks in today. Yesterday, Waste Management opened the new recycling center and the largest, most environmentally friendly materials recovery facility in the Tri-County area. The company's history, however, isn't all that environmentally friendly.
Gypsy moths are an invasive species, and it's hard to know where to draw the green line when confronting the pest. In the Eugene area, state agricultural officials say that they've completed a 3-stage aerial attack on the moth infestation, but it will take 2 years to determine if the spraying worked. A helicopter sprayed BTK, that's a biological insecticide, over a 626-acre area. 2 consecutive years without catching any moths indicates that the infestation was wiped out, which in turn indicates that we probably produced a strain of gypsy moth that is resistant to BTK, which now will take advantage of a completely empty habitat and explode in population numbers. Well done.
The environment won't be on high ground until all the dams that are jeopardizing our dwindling potable water sources and fish populations are gone. And that won't happen unless and until we voluntarily let up our demands for cheap energy. Still, one rogue river dam, Gold Hill, is gone. Another, Savage Rapids, is on its way out. And now federal stimulus money will be spent to speed the removal of the third and last dam on the rogue, the Gold Ray Dam.
Well, we have in place a number of different systems and programs designed to protect consumers from themselves and from the banking industry. We're in the middle of the worst financial meltdown since the Great Depression. The CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, is now coming out against creating a new financial watchdog for Wall Street. Donahue, in fact, was so concerned that just last week he pledged to spend $100 million to stop what he called a populist overreaction. I'd say the general public has been alarmingly slow to take up the cry against these huge, gigantic corporate interests that are just, that are steamrolling right over them, taking their houses and their jobs and their health care with them. Joining us this morning to consider the situation is independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the Lund Report. Good morning, David. Thank you so much.
Hi, Chris. Thanks.
Well, let's talk about some of these things. We have in place all we need to at least get part of the job done as far as regulating banks and corporate interests. The public, though, is not apparently being served. And now this fellow with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donohue, warning of populist overreaction to a financial watchdog on Wall Street.
Right. Clearly there is need for a financial watchdog. I wanted to talk about reports that we are getting that the Obama program to incentivize banks to modify home loans has not been working as well as they hoped. They are reporting that just 200,000 loans have been modified this year so far in the program. They're trying to reach 4 million homeowners. And we're getting the reports nationwide, including in Portland, that people are still having a terrible time dealing with their banks, trying to refinance their loans or get a modification, you know, to reduce the principal of the loan without, most of the time they're requiring people to go into debt or go into default, which ruins their credit. And banks, you know, the big question with all these bailouts and everything that they're trying to do is whether we're getting anything in return. And so many reports are coming back that it's just very tough for people. And on the back end, their homes are getting auctioned off at the county courthouse. And you can see that happening every morning in downtown Portland.
Why would banks, why would it be in their interest to own a house that's empty and declining in value and equity by the moment, with every brick that crashes through it, every piece of copper pipe that's ripped out? Why would they? Why would it be better to own a house that's going to fall into the ground in disrepair than keep people in the house, taking care of it, and struggling to meet their payments? It makes no sense.
Exactly.
What is the reasoning? How do you see the banks figuring that one?
I think it's to me, it's kind of that $64 million question of our time. And there's been a lot of good articles about this. I think The Nation has covered it well, and This American Life has done some good stories on it. And it has to do with the dynamic that the banks have with their servicers, and also the fact that, you know, it's not really in the servicers' interest to help people to pay down their loans. They just want people to keep paying them because they have a commission on the checks that they receive. And the other reason is that banks feel maybe that they can, by foreclosing on the property immediately, they can save that money. They can prolong how long it will take that to have an impact. So they'll put that off for 2 years versus trying to modify the loan, which changes the value of the house immediately. And that's what they're most concerned about. So there's different theories, but that is definitely a good question, and I think a lot of people have been looking for that answer.
And, of course, it's not a house anymore, is it? It's a derivative. It's chopped to pieces, a part and parcel of a credit default swap that no one understands and no one can possibly trace. And the idea, of course, was something like AIG was going to step in and cover any losses. And, of course, that's a dream that's long since turned into a nightmare.
Right.
Thank you so much for that, David. My guest this morning has been independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the Lund Report. Thank you so much for that, David.
Thanks a lot.
Diane Schroer, a retired Army Special Forces commander, had been offered a job at the Library of Congress when he was a man, David Schroer. The job was rescinded the day after Schroer told a library official he was going to have an operation to become a woman, which brings the case to the appeal-no-appeal stage. The Obama administration is supporting the nearly $500,000 judgment for Schroer, and no appeals attached.
And now this comes around in Milwaukee, Oregon. A man discharged a can of pepper spray at officers attempting to arrest him. Milwaukee police officer Kevin Krebs says six officers were treated at the scene for exposure to the spray. And Jeffrey Wayne Radebo has been charged with harassment, disorderly conduct, and 6 counts of assault on a public safety officer. Lessons learned. Pepper spray hurts, no matter which side of the law you find yourself on.
And finally, Republican Norm Coleman gave up a nearly 8-month effort to prevent Al Franken being seated as Minnesota's second senator. He conceded just hours after the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled unanimously that Franken won the election. Franken's victory gives the Democratic Party a filibuster-proof 60-seat majority in the Senate.
So far, Coleman has lost to a wrestler and now a comedian. Yeah. Maybe it's time to give up politics.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, July 1st, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Steve Nassar. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Trillium Shannon, sitting in for Kathleen Stevenson on sabbatical. I'm Liam Delphi.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Now stay tuned for Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.